Luke 17, our gospel reading for this day. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, there are basically 2 kinds of people in this world. One kind can be described this way. Wherever they go, whatever they do, they can find something to complain about. The other kind are those folks who can go to the same place and do the very same thing, yet they can find something for which to be grateful. And before we start pointing fingers and categorizing others, remember that often those 2 kinds of people dwell within each one of us on any given day. And that's often a reflection of our mental and emotional well-being, along with the state of our spiritual condition at any given point. Explaining how gratitude reflects upon and influences one's entire life, a Roman philosopher and a great orator named Cicero, who lived, in fact, a couple decades before Jesus was even born, stated, "A thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, it is the parent of all virtues." A thankful heart. Commenting on the scripture passage used as this morning's gospel reading from Luke 17, known as the story of the 10 lepers, which I will address in just a moment, Alan Culpepper, writing in the New Biblical Commentary, Interpreter's Bible Commentary, states, "Gratitude may be the purest measure of one's character and spiritual condition." And he goes on to warn, "The absence of the ability to be grateful reveals self-centeredness, or the attitude that I deserve more than I ever get, so I do not need to be grateful." There's something else related to self-centeredness that precludes our ability to live a life of gratitude. And that's a sense of entitlement. Entitlement derives from the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges and special treatment. Therefore, one has the right to expect certain benefits or conditions. This usually is accompanied with the often denied or unrecognized understanding that others don't deserve the same treatment. Also, we can fall into a trap of taking for granted that which we receive on a regular basis, and then can forget to be grateful. While all of these elements and more can apply to anyone, they certainly contribute, for example, to the deeply embedded sense of white privilege. We will be exploring this issue specifically and in more detail in next Sunday's adult church school class. I invite you to attend. So with the recognition that there is great psychological, physiological, emotional, and spiritual value to the simple act of giving thanks and showing appreciation and expressing gratitude, Perhaps we need a reminder of why it is such an important virtue to exhibit in our own lives, individually and in the life of this congregation. We should be grateful to the gospel writer Luke for including a story that helps to put all of this into proper perspective. Luke tells us that Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem between the region that's between Samaria and Galilee. And we learn that 10 people suffering from the disease of leprosy, which actually could have meant any number of skin diseases, they approach Jesus. And they stand far off, as was in accordance with Jewish law, and they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Notice, however, that this is different from what the Levitical law required, which was to shout, "Unclean, unclean." Their words express then not a warning from Jesus to stay away, but rather a cry to him for help, perhaps even for a relationship. And next we're told that Jesus saw them. Well, it's so easy to just skip right over this small, seemingly unimportant statement because it's obvious that Jesus saw them. The Greek verb to see, however, carry deep theological meaning for Luke, well beyond its literal meaning of just physical sight. To see means to perceive and to understand. You hear this in the phrase, "I see what you're saying." In this case, Jesus perceived that people were in deep need, and he understood that he had an opportunity to do something about it. Later on in the story, Luke tells us that, quote, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and thanked Jesus." Well, in this instance, seeing meant that the person not only realized that he had been healed physically, as the other 9 certainly must have realized as well, but more importantly, this one particular person recognized that his life had been touched by the mercy and the grace of God. Conversely, like the one who had leprosy and returned to give thanks, just think about this challenge. How well do you and I see others? How well do we understand that we have an opportunity to do something about it? And conversely, like the one who had leprosy and returned to give thanks, how well do you and I recognize God's blessing and grace and sacred presence in our lives? The tough question we're faced with then is this: are we always grateful for the blessings and grace, the healing and wholeness that we are able to recognize in our own life and in our family life, in our professional life, in the life of College Hill? In fact, is the act of being grateful a quality and virtue that others would say describes your character or describes our congregation? This biblical story, with this profound connection between faith and gratitude, you may have noticed, however, that it has an interesting twist at the end. The one who turned back and gave thanks was not Jewish, like Jesus, but a Samaritan. You may recall that Samaritans were despised by the Jews. There were deep racial, social, and religious divisions and boundaries between them. Jews probably even considered building a wall. 2,000 years later, the Israeli government did. Therefore, it's important to observe how uninterested Jesus appears to be in this man's personal faith, or his religious beliefs, or his political persuasions. Jesus then provides a living example to us as to how the broad, inclusive grace of God is to be extended to all who we are called to minister to.
This can help us, for example, in our efforts to dismantle systemic racism that's embedded within our society and, yes, within the church. Jesus asks the thankful Samaritan, who was a person with leprosy, was an outcast among outcasts. Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to give praise to God except this foreigner? What does the failure of the other 9 to return and give thanks to God and express gratitude say about them? What does it say about faith? Well, put most simply, this story encourages us to regard gratitude itself as an expression of our faith. The other 9 people had been healed physically, of being made clean. But only the one who returned and expressed gratitude received the spiritual dimension of Jesus' declaration of being made well. And perhaps you've experienced something similar. That there is something life-giving about expressing gratitude and being a thankful person. And ironically, this biblical story about an outcast, unclean heretic, according to ancient Jewish standards, becomes a model of faith for us. And I love that about the scriptures. This person was able to see beyond his physical healing to the one who made him whole, to God. This person recognized not only the gift, but the giver of the gift as well. And interestingly, and important to note, there is not a faith tradition or type of spirituality anywhere in the world that does not include gratitude as a vital part of its path to wholeness and well-being. Should tell us something. And C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Reflections on the Psalms, "I noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised least. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible." What a great line. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. I want to leave you with another reflection from Alan Culpepper. Here is a barometer of spiritual health. Think about your own spiritual health and well-being. For those who have become aware of God's grace, all of life is infused with a sense of gratitude. And each encounter becomes an opportunity to see and to respond in the spirit of the grateful leper. What then is the measure of gratitude on your barometer of spiritual health? Like the Samaritan with leprosy, may we all be more intentional to simply pause and to recognize our blessings and the ways we experience healing and wholeness. And then to remember to respond with gratitude. To which I want to take this opportunity to say truly how thankful I am to God and to you for the remarkable blessing to which I've been called to serve as your pastor. Amen.